Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I am Blair Morrison, and today I'm joined by the... What actually is your title, Mike?
Director of Fitness.
Director of Fitness here at the Albany Resort in the Bahamas in Nassau. Reebok has held their summit here the last 3 years, and Mike has been the main point of contact, the guy that gets it done, so to speak. So, Mike, thank you very much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm excited about it.
So how did this partnership with Reebok come about?
Well, I'll tell you, it was about three or four years ago. A couple of people from Reebok Corporate were here vacationing. And when they got here, they just loved it. They absolutely loved it so much. They said they enjoyed the gym, they enjoyed the training, the atmosphere, the energy. And one of the guys that I was involved with the CrossFit division of Reebok said, "You got to come up. You got to meet with the guy that runs it, and the guy's name, Mike Tochwell. You got to come meet our guy and sit down with him and talk to him. I think there's some opportunity here." And so when I went up to see my son in college up in Springfield, I said, "You know what? Let me go say hello to Mike, meet him, and see what it's all about." Because as we grow our business down here, we're looking to bring more people in. We want to get people that want to come in. They want to check out the resort. And we're looking for other ways to attract people. So this, which I actually thought would be a really cool corporate retreat type visit, turned into, well, you know, we host a summit. We just started last year. That could be something that could happen. And from there, it just grew.
So that's interesting, because I wouldn't have expected you being the one that kind of made the first major effort, right? And that's, you went up and talked to Mike about it and said, "Hey, you know, we could do a corporate retreat." And they're like, and then it just kind of, the back and forth happened and ended up being the athletes here.
Yeah, it was really cool. Well, to be honest with you, I mean, I'm the kind of guy, I always try to think outside the box. You know, we're looking to do more business here. We're looking to attract more people to come to the island, to get them on the island. So for me, it was a no-brainer. I mean, to travel up there, to even just visit the Reebok outlet, I mean, not the outlet, but the corporate headquarters was amazing. And when I got there, we started kind of just, you know, putting our heads together. And he told me about the retreat. And for me, it was a no-brainer. To get you guys on the island is awesome.
Yeah. And if I'm perfectly honest, like, this is the number one reason why all these athletes are with Reebok. I mean, Reebok's a great company, but as far as perks go and payment and sponsorship, like, every one of them talks about the Bahamas trip. They all want to be there. So
that's cool.
What you've done for your part of it has been off the charts.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate that. And I do. I look forward to you guys coming back each year.
So talk a little bit about the impact that the presence of the athletes here for these 3 days has on some of the other guests, some of the staff. I know that's something that you take notice of as a director of fitness.
Yeah, it's big. The first year here, I was a little nervous. I wasn't sure what to expect. I'd watch you guys on TV, watched a lot of the games, the Open. So I was kind of like a little stressed out to try to figure out how to make it the best trip ever for you guys, along the lines of making sure that everything here in the community, within the Albany community, you know, stays consistent with their standards. And as I started to get closer to the trip, I was like, you know, I had a great conversation with JD, great conversation with Mike. These guys are pumped. Everybody was pumped. So I just said, you know what, it's going to happen and it's going to be what it's going to be. And, you know, I just had to make sure that all of our channels were set and all the people were on board. Well, I'll tell you what, the members, when they get here and they see you guys come here, they get so excited. I mean, these are people that travel all over the world. They're from all over the world, and they watch you guys come here, and it's just phenomenal. The response and the feedback that I get, it's so impressive. And I think the best part about it is the fact that you guys, you know, are just so down to earth. And that makes such a big, big difference.
I got my two-year-old daughter, a year-and-a-half-year-old daughter, trying to FaceTime me. So we're going to take a quick break here.
We good?
All right, just to rehash that question, we talked about how even though...
Where'd you lose it?
I think it lost it.
You think we lost all the stuff about the athletes interacting with the members as well?
Well, we might have got part of it, but it's gonna, when I edit it back together, it'll be easier to have it all.
Full thing?
Yeah, full thing. So, Mike, talk a little bit about the impact that having the athletes here at the Albany has on the other clients, the owners, and then some of the staff members as well, because you get to see that as director of fitness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing. As you guys come in every year, like I said before, I get a little stressed, a little worried. I want it to be perfect. I want it to be perfect for everybody. And, you know, in the beginning, I was a little concerned because people down here are health conscious. However, they don't train and work. You know, they don't have the same work ethics as you guys have. So I was a little concerned about, you know, how they would feel, how they would react. But I'll tell you what, it's amazing. There's so much positivity that comes from the owners. These people from all over the world, they travel all over the world. They see things. But what's amazing is when they see you guys and they get excited about it, they always ask me after you guys leave, when are they coming back? What are we doing? What more can we do?
It's funny. I was just talking to one of the owners. He lives here. His name's Jerry. And, yeah, you know him.
Jeremy Greenhall.
Right.
He's awesome.
Yeah. So he was just asking me like, he's asking me about the social media presence and like whether the athletes are monetizing it. And like, you know, I'm just curious about what the people do with their fitness and that kind of thing. So it's cool to have that sort of open relationship, I think, as an athlete that's here as a visitor, to be able to talk to some of the owners openly. It's nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Jeremy is just he's a top-notch guy. I mean, he's built a business because he understands how to study things, make things work. And ever since we got here and ever since I met him, he's done the same with his fitness. His fitness is just off the charts. He works hard. He's got, you know, great work habits and stuff like that. But, yeah, when he sees you guys, the fact that he takes the time to ask the questions is awesome. It's pretty amazing. And as far as the staff goes, I mean, you know, these guys, they love it. They want to know when you're coming back. They want to know, you know, what you guys are doing, what you're up to. And what's even more amazing is the fact that when you guys leave, I mean, there's like 10 to 15 people on the staff that are just re-energized, re-motivated. They want to make a difference in their lives. And they come up with questions. They ask questions. And, you know, they don't have the ability. I try to make them accountable for what happens. But they've just spent their whole lives just, you know, not having that ability to get out and do stuff. And, you know, here on the island, there's so much to do. There's so many resources. You can swim. You can run. You've got the beaches. But you'd be amazed at how many of the Bahamians don't know how to swim.
I know. That's a it seems silly.
It is. It's amazing. And I mean, like I said, I have a trainer who's an amazing trainer. But every time we get ready to do a pool workout, he says, I'm not going to the pool.
So, like, what is that, man? Like, why would somebody growing up on an island not learn to swim or not want to swim? I mean, is that like a – sometimes I feel like Western – the influence of Western culture is like – the cause of some of these issues, yeah. Right? I mean, I hear that like from people I know that lived in Africa. They're like, you know, people are so unhealthy there because they're trying to live like a Western lifestyle, but just, it's not indigenous and it's not natural.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that statement is, you know, for me, I agree with it. I mean, these guys over here, it's just, they watch a lot of TV and you see what goes on TV and they're more focused on, you know, what they can get, what they can buy, what they can do. And, you know, rather than take advantage of it. When I first moved here to build a business 7 years ago, I spent 2 years of not doing any kind of training because I was building a business. Now I was in the gym. I was working out. By the end of my 12-hour day, I was exhausted. I was wiped. And I finally, I woke up one morning. I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to make do with my time. So I got up an hour earlier. I live 12 miles from my from where I work. And I ride my bike 3 to 4 days a week. So now I'm getting my cardio in. Because if I try to make that time during the day, something comes up and I just don't do it.
You are an incredibly busy guy. You're always coming and going, man.
It's a lot. It's pretty awesome. I care. I care a lot about, you know, my clients, my members, my friends. I care a lot about you guys when you get here. So I want to make sure everybody has a good time and I get all the questions answered. As far as the Bahamas goes, I think these people growing up, they just didn't have that place to go to learn, to find somebody to teach them how to swim, to get in water. I know they all go in the water. I know I see a lot of them playing, but they never go deeper where they really have to keep their head above water.
Yeah, and that's surprising. That's not what you would expect from, like we said before. When you have the sand and the ocean here, you expect that people to be like fish.
Yeah, and the irony is you do get a little bit of that, a very little bit. So one of the big things that you'll see on the streets here, which is pretty awesome, you'll go out in a boat and you take your boat out and then you'll see a couple of guys that have literally paddled out a half a mile offshore or a mile off the shore. And they're Bahamians and they have a mask that they've probably had for 10, 15 years. And they dive, they'll dive 20, 30, 40, 50 feet. No problem.
Free diving.
They're free diving. They're spearing lobster. They'll come in. They'll go out in the mornings early, and they'll come back, and they'll sell them on the street. But I asked around. I said, well, how many of these guys, how many Bahamian record holders or potential record holders are there? Once again, none. So they just don't, I just don't think they know where to go. And I, and Albany is working towards bringing that opportunity, the window of opportunity, to a lot of the Bahamians. One of the owners here, the managing partners, or there's two of them. One of them has been here, grew up on the island. His name is Jason. He's an awesome guy, and he heads up sales and many other aspects of it. And this guy can dive like it's going out of style. And then Christopher, you know, who brought me here, the managing partner, he just spends a lot of time trying to get back to the island, trying to get others involved and the people involved. So hopefully in the near future we'll see a lot of change as far as that goes.
Talk a little bit about growing the business and, you know, both from your perspective and, like, Albany's perspective as a whole. How do you attract owners? How do you attract attention, right? How do you guys kind of market this place? Because it's, I mean, for the listeners that have never been here or seen a picture of this place, is off the charts amazing. It makes the Atlantis look like just a you know, puddle of mud type of type of place. So once you get people here, obviously it's probably an easier sell, but talk about the strategy behind it from a business perspective. How are you going to kind of grow ownership, membership, and visitors?
That's a great question. The truth of the matter is that Jason is probably one of the top salesmen. Jason goes above and beyond board to make sure everybody here is happy. And when he gets them here, his goal is to make sure they see everything, make sure they understand what's going on. If you don't know about Albany, Albany is a private resort. And the owners, as advertised, are the original owners, the main owners, are Mr. Lewis, Joe Lewis, and then Tiger Woods and Ernie Els.
No way. I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. So those are the original owners. Are now, they have some partners, but those are the owners that started and own outright Albany.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So it originally started, and it still is, and it continues to grow as a major golf community with some tremendous golf pros that live here. Justin Rose lives here. Adam Scott lives here. They have homes here. And however, the community has grown to be so much more than just golf.
Is that why the golf course is so hard?
I don't have the answer to that. I do know that it is hard.
It's
one of the most difficult golf courses people play. And I'll ask the question, hey, how's your day at golf? And some of the answers I can't even repeat.
Yeah. We played yesterday. We played every year as like a little four-person scramble. And like, I'm a decent golfer. I'm not a great golfer, but I played better in years past. Yep. Like last year I played pretty well. This year, man, I just got destroyed.
Oh, it'll do it to you. But between last year and this year, they made a few changes because we now host every December the Hero World Challenge, which is a Tiger Woods challenge.
That's right. I saw that.
We get the top 18 golfers in the world. They come here. They get ready for it before their season kicks off. They come here on the island. They play the tournament at Albany. It's just it's an amazing event. And
are you saying the course is harder this year?
No. I think it's the same. It's harder every year.
Right.
But we're just here now, closer to right after the event. So a lot of things that were changed for the event to make it a little bit more difficult. And again, I don't know much about golf courses or golf. I will tell you this, that it was a challenging course for these guys this year.
That's okay. Well, it makes me feel a little better, even if it may be all in our heads. I definitely felt like it wasn't the same player I was a year
ago.
Oh,
you're the only one.
Yeah.
It'll humble you quickly.
All right. So you got big names like that. That attracts other golfers and things. What about... I know you don't want to name names because it's a very private community, but this is somewhat of a celebrity destination, correct?
Yeah, it is. We are getting a lot more celebrities coming in, actors, actresses, musicians. It's pretty cool. We're building actually on campus here a music studio, which we're hoping to attract more people to come in and utilize that music studio and to record and to do stuff on. I think the strategy in the very beginning was really planned well between Christopher and Jason. Their goal was, we're going to go out, we're going to meet high-end people, people that we want to be part of our community. We want people that are going to enjoy life, that are going to enjoy other people living around them, that are just going to have a really good time. And what they did was they brought in people. We had buyers from the UK, from Canada, from the US, Argentina, and we have some amazing families here. Outside of the celebrities, the families that are here are amazing. I get to see and meet most every one of them. They come by the gym. They have their kids. Every time they come back, they're just – it's wonderful to have them here on campus.
So the families that live here, are they living here year-round, or is it like kind of a come and go vacation home type of ownership?
It's I don't know the percentages, but I would guesstimate that about right now, 85% of the homes that families come to visit are come and go. They're from the UK. They're from all over the world, and they'll come in here for about maybe 3-4 months out of the year, or a little bit less. And
at a like in a row?
No,
or
they'll come in. They'll come in for a month.
Dip in, dip out.
Yeah, dip in, dip out, and they'll utilize it based on their kids' vacations. We do have people that live here full time. Some of the golf pros are here full time, but they travel all the time. But their goal was just to attract people to come here. And then I got to be honest, as it started to grow and the boats were coming in, every time somebody would come in, the next time they come back, they'd bring a friend. And next thing you know, that friend's buying a house here or building a house here. So it just kind of took off that way.
Yeah. And if the houses themselves aren't impressive enough, the marina puts it over the top, man.
Oh, it's amazing.
The yachts that are sitting in that marina. They're like mini cities.
It's crazy. Unbelievable. It's you know, you've got yachts that come in here that are like 15,000 square foot under AC, you know, and they come in and they just park and stay, and it's just phenomenal how they do it. And again, those guys that get on the bring the boats in and stuff, they're just superstars. Great people, wonderful people to have around.
I think for the Reebok athletes coming here to a place like this, where the owners and the typical guest here is so successful, whatever their line of business, like it's the only reason why they're here is they've had a lot of success. I think, you know, in CrossFit or whatever bubble you kind of operate in, you can tend to maybe forget, you know, what else is out there. And I think in a sense, it's a little bit humbling for a lot of the athletes because they're very successful at what they do. Right. But the scale here of success is just, it's just another level.
It is, and it's amazing. But, you know, the reality is a lot of these people had their successes in other businesses that would allow, the ability to grow and create more and more success as you go along. I think as the sport grows, CrossFit, you'll see more along the lines of paybacks for these athletes. I think more people will get involved. I think Reebok's pretty smart in some of the stuff that they do, partnering with CrossFit, partnering with the UFC.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
It is a big deal. And if you look at the UFC fighters, and my background is the mixed martial arts, and I loved it. I never fought, but I love to train. I love the, you know, that whole, again, community, class, activity, you know, strength and conditioning type part within the mixed martial arts. But if you look way back when they were making $50-$100 a fight, you know, and now you got a guy like Conor McGregor who comes along who, you know, you can judge him all you want. But I don't know what he was doing a couple, 3-4 years ago, but I'm sure it wasn't much at all. And now he's got the opportunity to possibly book a $100 million fight with Mayweather.
I know. Just the fact that that's even talked about is amazing. Yeah.
It's and Reebok came right in on it. And look at what they did. I mean, I think the UFC originally sold from the Gracie family to Dana White and his partners for, what, a couple $100 million?
They turned around and sold them for
$4 billion.
$4 billion, yeah.
Unbelievable. So who's to say where CrossFit will go? And, you know, one of the things is, you know, people get so taken back by, oh, CrossFit, I could never do that. But then when you sit them down and make them understand that you've been doing it all your whole life, you just may have never done it properly.
Yeah. So before I let you go, just talk a little bit about kind of your vision for fitness at this place. How you try to integrate it into the owners and guests' lives here by offering different classes. And you guys have a phenomenal facility. all the athletes love coming here and working out because
cool.
You have everything.
That's great to hear.
In a lot of cases, more than we would typically have at our gym. So maybe talk a little bit about that, kind of what your vision for fitness is at Albany.
Well, one of the things is when I got out of the business I was in many years ago, and I was in sales and marketing. I was overweight. I quit. I just didn't want to travel anymore. And I made it a point that, you know, I was going to get myself in shape. And I just kind of stumbled down that road of trying to figure out. I did a triathlon, my first triathlon. And ironically enough, my wife and I got to Florida. Our kids were 6, 4, and 2. And I was like, you know what, honey, let's try a triathlon. She's like, okay. And I looked in the paper and I said, oh my God, Claremont, it's not too far from here. Let's do this triathlon. And I was looking at it, I was like, oh, okay, it's called a half Ironman. And she looked at me and she goes,
that was your first one?
That was my first one. She goes, what's that all about? I said, well, wait a minute, I'll check. Hang on. 1.2-mile swim, 56-mile bike. I can do that. I've done that before. Well, maybe not that. I've gotten close. And a 13-mile run. And she's like, all right, well, what do you think we should do? I said, well, first we got to buy some bikes. So I was like, you know, I said, let's do it. So we went out, we did it. I got into the, on the bike, I had the lactic acid was so bad in my legs, I had to get off my bike. And the story was quite funny because this woman comes up behind me on her bike. She gets off and she happened to be a nurse and she goes, what's going on? And I told her and she was massaging my legs, the muscles in my legs. She goes, I don't think I've ever seen lactic acid this bad. She goes, have you been eating any bananas at the stops or any pretzels for salt to retain water?
This is during the race?
This is during the race. This is
boy.
We're 30 miles into the 56-mile bike. And I said, no. I said, why do I do that? I had no idea.
Right.
So she got me back on the bike. I was able to make it through. And about 3 miles into the 13-mile run, I bonked. I hit the wall. And I swore that I would go do that race the next year. My wife finished in 7 hours the first year. We went back together after I got picked up. We went back a year later, and I finished about 7 hours into it. And she finished at about 7 hours. But from that point on, I decided that I was going to make a difference in fitness. I started with some kids in a small park, and we started training. Next thing you know, their parents wanted to train. I eventually moved into a 2,000-square-foot warehouse. But back to your question, my direction has always been that if I open a gym, everybody in that gym is going to know who the person is next to them. And I said, I was tired of going to a gym or attending a class where nobody spoke, nobody said anything to each other. You didn't know what it was. So when I got into the gym, in my first gym, the first year we were in 2,000 square foot. 2 years later, we had moved to 6,000 square foot. And I started training the owner here. And a good friend of mine is a CFO of a large company. He's a partner here as well. And they said, hey, we've got something we want you to do. But when you get to the Bahamas, we want you to do exactly what you did in your little warehouse in Winter Garden, Florida, over here, which means introduce everybody, have fun, change it up, mix it up. So when I designed the gym over here and put everything together, I want to have a little bit of kickboxing, mixed martial arts, equipment. I realized I was going to have what I would call the weekend warriors, the people that come to work out 3 or 4 times a week, and then you've got the professional athletes. So it was kind of a rough start to try to get acclimated to what everybody wanted.
Right. It's a little more – it's a lot to satisfy.
A ton to satisfy. Yeah. And what I found is with the people here, after you get started and you've gotten their trust, they keep coming back and they're excited. And so my thing was where we would continually add classes. You know, mm-hmm. It would be a kickboxing class. We would have a boot camp on the beach. We would have a boot camp outside. We would utilize the pool, the strength equipment. And then eventually we got more and more involved in CrossFit. And as I got to learn more about that, I was excited because of the fact that, you know, there was a lot of body weight stuff. And that was huge for these people here because I got bored lifting weights, and they enjoyed the heck out of it.
So how popular is CrossFit here? Is it caught on with a lot of the owners?
Yeah, it has. It has. If they haven't tried our class, they want to do a class in their one-on-one session. So the difference here at Albany is a lot of the families, a lot of the members have the ability to do one-on-one sessions. So even though the cost is a little bit higher, they like that special attention, that one-on-one. However, when you take them and you kind of get them over to do a class, a CrossFit class, then they walk away saying, wow, I really enjoyed everybody.
The other people.
Yeah, the community. I enjoyed being in a class. So it has caught on. We're growing our classes. And every time you guys come into town and they watch what you guys do, they say, we want to try that out.
That's awesome, man. Well, great. Good for you, dude. I'm super impressed every time I'm here.
Thank you very much.
And every time we do come, every year we come back, the place looks better and more developed. So it's like still like a work in progress, which is crazy to think, right?
Oh, it's a massive work in progress. We're finishing up 2 buildings now. We call them apartments, but they're beautiful homes. So there's 2 buildings
going up. Huge stretch of turf you guys put in that we used.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Awesome. Right on the marina. Awesome.
Yeah. And we're going to do a lot of fun stuff there. I'm hoping that one day I can get an event over here, hopefully one day soon. I have a really cool event and bring it over here. And
CrossFit event?
Yeah, CrossFit event.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, something specific. And again, utilize the island, utilize the ocean, utilize the beaches, the sand. So we're pretty pumped about that as well.
Dude, that's great. Well, if you do get an event going, let me know. We'll come down and we'll cover it.
It's a deal. It's a deal.
Hey, Mike, thanks again for being on the show. For the listeners out here who want more information on what you're doing here on the Albany Resort, where can they find that on social media?
Social media, we have Albany Bahamas CrossFit.
Okay.
Okay, and then we also albanybahamas.com. So right. albanybahamas.com will take you onto our website, and then you can kind of work your way through all the facilities, the amenities, and everything we offer.
Fantastic. And as always, guys, follow us at BTB Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating. Mike, thanks again.
You're the man. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.